Hello, everyone. Chris Martinson here, Peak Prosperity, of course, and I want to address a question today, which is, what is peak prosperity? Look, while the skeleton of peak prosperity is a framework of ideas that help us all make sense of the world, the beating heart of peak prosperity is the community of people who've been drawn to both the messages and the values of the site. So as the world struggles to adapt to the reality that its default mode of endless growth on a finite planet's on its last legs, having a trusted community becomes more important than ever. I'm reminded in this moment of the incredible journey we've embarked upon together since we first began this journey many years ago. Some of you have been with me 14 years now. It fills me with immense gratitude to see how our community, teeming with diverse minds from across the globe, has grown and flourished. Every conversation, every interaction has been an opportunity for all of us to learn, to challenge ourselves, and to further our understanding of the world. But now, as we face many threats as individuals and as a community, not least of which is a hostile ruling class that wants us divided and angry at each other like rats in a cage, presumably to take the heat off of them, well, it's at times like these, communities based on agreements, they fall apart. Those founded on values, well, those can survive and even flourish. For example, we can all click a box agreeing to terms and conditions that say, you know, we're going to be civil and back up our assertions with data and context. But when our own buttons get pushed, we always default to our core values. So what are Peak Prosperity's values? What are we building and modeling here? Top among them, for me at least, is open-mindedness. According to at least two self-personality tests that I've taken, open-mindedness is one of my top value. It's my topmost value. It's not even close. And it's vital that we remain receptive to new ideas, to different perspectives and challenging viewpoints so that we can foster an environment where individuals are willing to change their minds based on evidence and reasoned arguments. As many have gone through the awakening process can attest, what you thought was true, what you were taught by your culture and prior generations, maybe even trusted teachers, maybe even your parents, often range from being slightly wrong to entirely wrong. Now, what I learned about health, for instance, from our medical system, wrong. What the CDC still promotes is the optional, you know, optimal nutritional pyramid with grains on the bottom, wrong. What I was taught about Darwinian evolution, wrong enough to warrant a complete review. The idea that the Federal Reserve seeks full employment and stable prices, those are its dual mandates, yeah, that's a myth. That's an entirely false myth. Now, once we've gotten through the idea that we have to relearn things, this brings us to the word and the concept of integrity. The key of all of this for me is, although, you know, if the post-COVID period was really about anything, it was about finding out who out there in the world of ideas and leadership was operating from a place of integrity and who wasn't. I certainly learned, as I'm sure you did, who the intellectual frauds were and the moral cowards. The difference mainly came down to a specific definition of integrity that I like to hold. And the definition of integrity I like best is, you are in integrity if you have a willingness to be completely re-educated at any given moment. And that's why ideological rigidity is the opposite in the diagram that I present on this. Integrity in this context means that one is so solid with their inner integrity that they are free from attachment to any particular external idea. So, you know, a lot of people think of integrity, maybe it's like, it's rigid in some ways, like some sort of a steel beam or inner solidity, but I want to reframe it here as an intellectual, from an intellectual standpoint at least, as being wide open to changing and growing, as seeking truth before defending ego might fall into this, right? So that's integrity to me, is that strength that you are so sure of yourself that you're willing to change your mind. You are not attached to any particular concept. Now, this does not mean wishy-washy or uncertain, like, oh, I don't know, just changing my mind all the time. Far from it. It means building up one's knowing, your gnosis, to the point where you know what you know, and you know what you don't know. And that requires quite a bit of wisdom and experience. And my saying around this is, you know, the older I get, the less I know for sure. Man, I knew everything when I was younger. I know less for sure. And even though I know less, I'm in a greater place of wisdom around that because I know what I know, I know what I don't know. And that's wisdom. Now, this also explains why I don't do identity politics or take sides in the various wars that my dominant culture keeps trying to ram down my throat, right? I mean, beside the kinetic wars, look, the drug war, complete, obvious, abject, objective failure. The war on poverty, ditto. The gender and culture wars, all misguided and delivering pretty much the exact opposite of what they claim as objectives, right? And the problem is they're fighting along the wrong axis. They're fighting left-right. They aren't rooted in open-mindedness, and therefore, they lack integrity. They're about winning political points, and that's, well, that's not a worthy goal for anybody's life to really chase. Now, a closely related concept to all this, another value I hold, or that Peak Prosperity holds, is curiosity. At Peak Prosperity, we're always free. Always free. You will be free as a member here to be curious, to explore any and all topics in depth as far as you'd like to go, to ask questions, and to engage in meaningful discussions that lead to deeper understanding. Now, corollary of this is that sometimes members who come in with a trigger point, who want to shut down a conversation by shaming or shouting over or overemoting, well, they're asked to leave. There's no greater crime against achieving understanding than making certain lines of questioning off limits. This means a number of universities and colleges are committing crimes, intellectual crimes. I believe that right down to my bones. And at Peak Prosperity, if we stand for anything, it's a commitment to continual learning. You know, one of my favorite quotes, when asked why he was still practicing daily at the age of 90, acclaimed cellist, world famous Pablo Casals remarked, "Because I think I'm finally starting to notice some improvement." We can always learn more about any given subject. And this brings us to the other part of that, which is intellectual integrity. So going deeper into this idea, the above values that I've talked about are strengthened by what we'll call intellectual integrity. We ask for and we practice honesty and intellectual rigor in discussions. We don't ask you to always be right, of course. We ask everyone to present well-researched, fact-based arguments and to admit when they're wrong. This is the core of the how we go about having conversations at Peak Prosperity. We back up our opinions with data, and when the data changes, hopefully so do our minds. This is always a process. It's not an event. And it often requires us to have a very high emotional quotient or EQ to go along with our IQ, right? To the extent we can, everyone should be transparent about their affiliations, their biases, and motivations when engaging in discussions, which can help others evaluate their arguments more effectively. This is where we all need help, because our own biases and lack of objectivity are usually hidden from us, but not from others. Our partners can see things about us that we cannot. It's why we get married in many respects. We foster to foster the necessary levels of trust to be vulnerable with each other. Look, that's difficult enough in person, but it's an order of magnitude more difficult when online, when anonymity comes into play. Written words, look, they often don't carry nearly enough subtle information for us to always get what the other person really means. So this brings us to our request, which is that we ask that all members are treated with respect, regardless of their backgrounds, their beliefs, their opinions, their educational attainments or lack thereof, where they went to school, where they didn't go to school. Our aim is civil and constructive discourse, free from personal attacks or insults. Now, one reason this is vital, beyond the limitations of being an online community, is because we know that changing how we see the world, it's not a matter of finally seeing the right information or data, although that's often a necessary first step. But it's because we know that it's a matter of shifting beliefs. That, my friends, is an emotional process, not an intellectual event. It's simply how we humans are wired. Nature, in her infinite wisdom, decided that human brains should mostly be wired up to believe a certain set of things, and that any rewiring projects should only be undertaken rarely and only if absolutely necessary. So changing our beliefs is hard, we say, right? It's an emotional process. The experience is uncomfortable. It's emotional. Sometimes people even say it's terrifying or anxiety producing. And this is why people often don't change until they receive a real scare in life or they hit absolute rock bottom. Because we know this, we know that we're asking for people to take a potentially scary emotional journey as they adjust beliefs. Well, that's why we ask our members to consider the feelings and experiences of others, especially when discussing sensitive or controversial topics. Empathy can lead to more constructive conversations. And if we do all of these things I've just described, people will feel comfortable sharing more of their own unique wisdom and life experience as they develop a sense of belonging to an inclusive and civil community that's dedicated to seeking truth. In a world that's going crazy, you can't put a price on the value of belonging to a group of people who still have their wits about them and their civility. All challenges are welcome. I especially welcome all challenges to my thinking. As long as they're respectful, as long as they're backed up by facts and data, I welcome being challenged because I know that my best work has always been sharpened by others. Even if the challenge is no more than, I didn't quite get it, Chris. It's confusing. And as well, one other thing I want to raise here is that, you know, from time to time, someone will come along here and admonish me to stay in my lane or accuse me of not knowing what I'm talking about. And that may happen to other members here as well. You don't have the authority to talk about that. Well, look, while this is always a distinct possibility that I don't know what I'm talking about, and I will always defer to someone with a greater authority or a set of experiences who has a more complete explanation or a better one, I also know that sometimes the people with the greatest depth are also those who have the largest blinders on. Now, this happened recently with virologists on the subject of the origin of COVID, right? My initial analysis, which hasn't changed, by the way, pointed to lab origin as being far and away the most likely. And I figured this out by early May of 2020 by listening to people who weren't world-acclaimed virologists, but who made a lot of sense, came armed with facts, and had better data. Well, in 2020 through 2021, I got in a lot of trouble with virologists who barked at me to stay in my lane, and I didn't. This is why we don't like to have inexperienced people talking about things that require real experts, right? They didn't know what they were talking about, or they were conflicted. In 2007, I got in a lot of trouble with real estate professionals who took strong exception. I was followed out to the parking lot by a couple of realtors who I thought were going to beat me up in Brattleboro after giving a talk. They, like I said, they took strong exception to my analysis that there was a housing bubble. They did not like that conclusion. Well, now, of course, virtually everybody claims to have known that there was a housing bubble at the time. But I can tell you, there were only about maybe five other people I knew about who were publicly saying that at the time. I was among them. And again, simply by virtue of deciding for myself what was what, right? In 2011, when Fukushima was unfolding, within 36 hours, I had determined for my followers that three out of the four nuclear cores had melted down and escaped their containment vessels. And at that time, the community had a nuclear sub-engineer in it telling us all that I was nuts, I had no expertise, I was way out of my lane, I didn't know what I was talking about, on and on, right? Almost 2 years later, the eventual truth was revealed, and yeah, three cores had escaped their containment vessels exactly as I had analyzed at the time. Now, in that case, back then, I'd paid for a satellite photo to be taken, a Digital Globe commissioned to fly over, and I discovered a few frames in a Japanese helicopter flyby that they had forgotten to scrub out, showing what I called the crack of doom glowing white hot beneath the rubble. And logic said to me that the only source of heat that could be that intense had to be nuclear. Couldn't be like a paint cans on fire underground or something. I followed the same process of deciding for myself what was what about COVID treatments, right? Some data made sense, some didn't. But I was up against an entire system that was determined to yell me down for being out of my lane. Not an expert, unqualified to step into the medical arena. Well, guess what? Together with this community, we managed to pull together, parse the data, read studies, and separate the BS from the truth. Ditto for figuring out that Russia wasn't losing in Ukraine and that Ukraine wasn't winning. That was easily determined by a dogged and daily review of battlefield videos. And that also instructed me that warfare has changed forever. Precision drone attacks and super and even hypersonic missiles have yet to be fully factored into the West's military thinking. And once again, I find myself being told that I don't stay in my lane because I don't know what I'm talking about. So listen, if we go through all of that, the point here is that I want to invite everyone, myself too, just follow the same methods. Center on the idea of you trusting yourself. If something doesn't seem right, then it probably isn't, which means it's time to go digging for answers. And to do so, you'll take risks. You'll get things wrong from time to time. So will I. But we often learn the most when we're wrong. So resisting the demands to stay in your lane is actually important because, as Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. The expert gatekeepers aren't there to protect or to help you nearly as often as they are there to protect their own sense of importance and identity and paychecks. If 2020 to 2023 was anything, it was a long warning against trusting experts. My role is information scout, and I can only do that when I have the freedom to ask any question, challenge any belief, gore any sacred ox out there. Because freedom of speech, folks, it means nothing without freedom of thought. We can't limit our thinking first because we're afraid we're going to be out of our lane or offend someone. Freedom of speech means nothing if we don't have that freedom of thought. So the mission of this site, what's Peak Prosperity about? The whole mission here, and the reason I get out of bed every day, excited to keep doing what I do, is to help as many people, to help you become as resilient as possible. Hard times are coming. Possibly catastrophically hard times. I don't know. The path to becoming more resilient is often less about doing or buying new things, but it's often more about letting go of the past and releasing the models and the ideas that no longer serve us. Again, that's a delicate process, rightfully guarded by nature, using various illusions and emotional walls. She makes it kind of tricky. I get it. The best we can do online, however, is to facilitate this mission is to have a community of high integrity and exceptional people. Good news is that, well, we have it in spades. The volunteer moderators we have that are a vital part of maintaining the site do a fantastic job. So too are the efforts of every member who contributes thoughtfully or flags posts for spam or for further review. The Peak team itself is comprised of people who are so dedicated to the project that I get teary with gratitude just thinking about their dedication and how lucky we all are to have them. Together, we're building a durable community. That is one of the very best to be found anywhere online. Of that, I'm certain. I'm proud of that, as I know my team is. Now we're doing something special. We're growing stronger together and learning from each other. Even though the whole world seems to be demanding that we fracture, divide, shut down, they want us to be rats in a cage. They want us fighting each other. So I urge you, please, join the discussion. Come with integrity and curiosity. Bring whatever you can to the conversation, all the facts, your open mind, respect the diverse backgrounds and knowledge of our community, and let's seek the truth together. And if we do this, we have a shot at creating a world worth inheriting. Thank you for listening. Your faithful information scout, Chris Martinson, signing off.